We're going out on our newsmaker line and bringing in our good friend, the king of avocados himself.
Oh, boy.
The Baron of Brooklyn. The Baron of Brooklyn, is that what we'll call
him? I like
you?
That better.
Yeah.
I like that way better.
The Baron of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
The man we call Mo, of course, Mr. Maurice Moten, who joins us now. Mo, how you doing on this Friday?
I'm going to do my best Q impersonation right here. I'm just going to say chilling, man. Just chilling.
You got to like
that. I'm California cool today like you.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
I am pretty cool.
But then you got to switch from avocado to cucumber, right?
I like the Brooklyn Baron, though.
I don't do cucumbers.
You can just stick with that.
The Brooklyn Baron. Okay, good. Well, I like that. I like that one, too.
Yeah, I like that one, too.
Okay, Mo, so let's start with this. We're going to get to your piece on Henry Ruggs in a second, but I want to get your take off the top. Here we are. Raiders have played 8 games. They're 5-3. Tell me what you think. What's your assessment of this team as they head into the back 9, to use a golf tournament, or the back 8 in this case with games, and they host Denver this weekend. Is this team where you thought they would be? Are they ahead of where you thought they'd be, or are they behind?
Well, if you remember, we did the predictions before the season started. All three of us had a round table. And I think I was behind on their prediction. I believe I had them either 3-5 or 4-4 at this point. Not sure. You can play back the tape. But they're exceeding my expectations. As you know, I had them at an 8-8 season record. So right now, I would say 10-6 is very possible if they can hold up and, for the most part, stay healthy. I think this team has a chance to make the playoffs. I know the prediction probability is going up for them. So beyond the wins, I know everyone expects wins. Beyond the wins, I would like to see their defense improve, because that's going to make the difference between them being a one-and-done team in the playoffs or possibly making a surprise and making some noise in the postseason.
Outside of Derek Carr, Mo, is there a guy right now on the Raiders roster that's playing better than you expected him to play?
Playing better? Nick Kwiatkowski comes off the top of my head really quickly, because a lot of people thought of him as a second linebacker. Signing Frazier, everyone thought Corey Littleton would lead that group and be the star player in that unit. But to me, Nick Kwiatkowski deserves a lot of credit. I know he's missed some games with a pec injury, but when he's on the field, that's a different defense. Some people would say Trayvon Mullen, but I expected him to play well. We talked about this, Q, that I didn't have any issues or cautions about Trayvon Mullen being a CB1 and just showing out. And I think he's met my expectations. But as far as Kwiatkowski, I think he's better than expected.
We are with Mo Moten, our senior NFL columnist at silverandblacktoday.com, also a major contributor over at Bleacher Report. And Mo, you talked about who has surprised you a little bit, Nick Kwiatkowski. Is there anybody else that you've been impressed with? I mean, I look at the offensive line and just say, wow, those guys have stepped up big. But is there any other individual offense or defense that comes top of mind?
Well, I'll go with the obvious and say Nelson Aguilar, of course, because, he's the guy that's stretching the defense. I know a lot of people expected Henry Ruggs to be that guy, but it seems that Nelson Aguilar, I expected him to, give you 2 or 3 catches a game, and that's kind of where he's been. But the surprise is that he's been the guy, again, to stretch the field. At one point, I believe he was leading the league in yards per reception. So, again, I expected Nelson Aguilar to contribute, but to contribute in the way he's doing it as a big play threat is kind of a surprise to me.
Yeah. That's
now,
it.
On the flip side of things, guys that aren't living up to expectations outside of Corey Littleton. I would have let you say him, but since he's on the COVID-19 list, we'll give him a break today.
Okay, we'll give him a break. I don't want to say Cleveland Farrell, because he is improving as a run stopper. He still needs to give you more in the pass rush. But Malik Collins, after all the talk in the offseason about what he could be and comparing him to Geno Atkins, He's barely noticeable on the field most games. I know he has flashes here and there now. I believe he had a QB hurry recently, but just not nearly enough as the coaches talked him up to me this offseason.
And Mo, what about, I'm going to ask you this question too, because it's a player we all like. Okay, but his development, where Jonathan Abram, where do you, when you look at his play and what he's able to do, everybody loves his aggressiveness, everybody loves what he can be, but when you look at him now, really just about 7 games into his career, what needs to get better there, and is there any concern with how he plays?
I would say that there's a concern. I think with Jonathan Abram, you're going to have to take the good with the bad. He's going to blast guys here and there. We see that sometimes there's friendly fire where he'll get another teammate hurt. I know a lot of fans don't like that. I think Jonathan Abram is kind of polarizing within the fan base. Some people really like him because of his energy. Some people are a little skeptical of him because they say he's a little too much over the top and he's not great in coverage, which wasn't his strength coming out of college. I already knew that. He did have a key pass breakup against the Chargers. A lot of people blamed him for that busted coverage on Keenan Allen, but I would put that more on Eric Harris. If you watch the film, I think Eric Harris is out of position, not so much Jonathan Abram, but he needs to get better in coverage. But when he's in the box, he's pretty good. He's only played, as you said, 7-8 games into his career. I think for 7-8 games and missing his rookie year, I think he's going to be a quality football player, and I like what he brings to that defense because he brings the energy. And he plays fast, and the Raiders defense needed that speed, needed that aggression that he brings.
Mo, you mentioned Clelin Ferrell a little while ago, and I particularly like what I'm seeing from him, especially when he's playing on the inside. Do you think that could end up being his spot moving forward?
I think it could, and I had a thought this weekend about him, comparing him to a Solomon Thomas. And I say that because Solomon Thomas came out as a high draft pick. I believe he was 3 to the 49ers, and a lot of people expected him to rack up the sacks. 49ers discovered that they needed to move him inside to get the best out of him, and that's where I would compare him to Clelin Ferrell and say maybe Clelin Ferrell's best spot, maybe kind of moving inside on some packages. And again, he's a pretty solid run defender, so if you can get that out of him, I know that's not what you really want out of a fourth overall pick. You're expecting the sacks. You're expecting the quarterback hurry. But at this point, you have to play into his strengths, and possibly that's where he needs to be right now.
Again, we're talking with Mo Moten, our senior NFL columnist at Silver and Black Today, also a contributor at Bleacher Report and other spots as well. Mo, let's shift gears to the article you wrote for us that concerns Henry Ruggs and the fact that some people are looking at Henry Ruggs and they're concerned because here he is. He's supposed to be the savior, the speed kills part two and all that kind of stuff. And he just hasn't been that involved. When he is involved from a catch perspective, you notice it because of that talent. And when he's not, he's definitely stretching the defense. But here's a guy that John Gruden said, we need to go get our own Tyreek Hill. And so people are expecting the same kind of production. Why is that fair? Why isn't it fair, and where do you see Henry Ruggs right now at this point?
I'll start where it's not fair, and I think a lot of people, and you guys talked about it a little bit, you compare him to CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy, and I get what he was saying. He's going to get compared to those guys because top three wide receivers in the draft class, a lot of people were saying, well, one of those guys is going to be the wide receiver one in that class, and he's always going to be tied to those guys. But I will say, if you put Ruggs in Dallas's offense, if you put Ruggs in the Broncos offense, I guarantee you his numbers would be a lot different. His numbers would be a lot higher. I know the Dallas Cowboys, Lamb is not the feature wide receiver that's Amari Cooper, but you got to understand with the Cowboys offense, they have the most pass attempts in the league. They're playing from behind a lot. Their defense is worse than the Raiders. So they're a pass-heavy team. The Raiders are 26th in pass attempts. So, again, the opportunities are just there more so for the Cowboys wide receivers than the Raiders. You mentioned the Denver Broncos offense. Their wide receiver one went down. Courtland Sutton went down. Noah Fant has been injured, has a nagging ankle injury, so he hasn't been himself. Mm-hmm. So Jerry Jones is expected to have a wide receiver one workload. That's not the case for us. Darren Waller is the top pass catcher in that offense. The Raiders just have the fewest offensive drives played, I believe 78. So, again, not a lot of opportunities for that offense. They're a run-dominant offense. They're 7th in rush attempts. So with a run-dominant offense, a dominant pass-catching tight end, and not a lot of offensive drives, Ruggs is not going to have a lot of opportunities. Now, I will say he should be getting more than three targets a game.
Right.
He should be at about 6 to 8, of course. But, again, with the way the Raiders' offense is set up, he is not going to be a high-volume wide receiver. That's just not the case this season. Now, will that change as time goes on? We'll see. But he's more of what he was at Alabama. He wasn't the main attraction at Alabama. He never had more than 46 catches. Jerry Jeudy, Calvin Ridley, Devontae Smith, they did the heavy lifting at Alabama. It wasn't more so Ruggs. He was more of the explosive component. And that's what he is with the Raiders right now.
Yeah, and real quick, the thing on Jeudy, too, watching the film, the game of him last week in preparation for this week, too, Jerry Jeudy got a ton of catches and yards after the Broncos were down by 20-plus points. So there was there's a lot of, you can look at stats sometimes, it doesn't tell the full story. But Mo, the other point you make there too is that he doesn't need to be the quote unquote prototypical number one receiver. I think as the NFL and offenses continue to evolve, and Q and I talk about this all the time on defense too, is the old adage of a number one, number two wide receiver, that terminology and those quote-unquote positions are sort of going away in some ways, aren't they?
Absolutely, because I just touched on it too. There are more pass-catching tight ends, there are more athletic tight ends coming into the league, there are more running backs catching out of the backfield. So with those targets going to more tight ends and running backs, that's going to take away from your wide receiver. So naturally speaking, the ball is going to be evenly spread a little bit more. And a lot of people will commend Carr to say, well, a good Derek Carr game is when he spreads the ball to 8-9 different receivers. Well, if you commend that, you can't condemn him if at times your top wide receiver isn't as involved as you think, because, again, Derek Carr is going to spread the ball around. Darren Waller is going to get his touches. Josh Jacobs is more involved in the passing offense. A lot of people say, well, you want to see Josh Jacobs do more. Well, he is. Problem is, you're going to take away from someone on that offense.
Now, Mo, with all that being said, and I don't disagree with you at all. Like, I totally get where you're going with that, and you make a lot of sense. You mentioned what he does at Alabama, and that's what I'm not seeing. That's what I'm trying to wait and see and want to see when that gets incorporated. Mm-hmm. I want to see the slants. I want to see a few of the crossing patterns. I want to see the just get the ball in his hands and let him do something, make him work his magic with his speed. That's what I'm waiting to see.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Q. I'm definitely with you, and I mentioned that in my article. I think Derek Carr mentioned on Wednesday that he needs to work on his timing, where to place the ball, and Russ needs to learn where the ball is going to go when he's targeted. And that goes with timing and working together, and eventually they'll get that down pat. But what I mentioned in my article, and you talked about it, I think the Raiders need to get the ball in his hands on more shorter throws, which is what you saw at Alabama, some slants, where he can use his speed after the catch. Because I think you don't always have to just go to him on the deep ball to stretch a defense. He can do more than that. It's just you don't have to use him for that one thing. He's versatile in that way where he runs the full route tree. You can get the ball to more short passes and let him do his thing after the catch.
Mo Moten is our guest here. And Mo, one of the things you talk about too is that fine-tuning of the connection between Carr and Henry Ruggs. You give a couple examples in here, including some video, which shows where, you know, you could have had maybe even possible touchdown, but the quarterback and the receiver just weren't on the same page. How do you get better? How do they tackle that and really start to get those guys on the same page so that when Henry Ruggs is there, Derek Carr sees him and has the confidence to go to him?
Well, again, I think it's just timing and experience with each other. Eventually, that'll come. You would hope that'll come as time goes on. Carr hasn't had a weapon like Henry Ruggs. I know people want to talk about Rico Gafford, but Rico Gafford is not on the same level as Ruggs. He wasn't on the field a lot.
Stop.
So Carr has to get used to throwing to a speedy target who's throwing downfield. And I think, again, that will come. You mentioned those touchdowns that could have been. I know they were debatable, especially with the Browns. I felt that was a touchdown, but possibly Russ can work on his sideline catches, give himself a little toe drag swag, as Nate Burleson would say on NFL Network. Mm-hmm. He needs to work on those catches close to the sideline so he keeps his feet in bounds. And eventually, like I said, Carr learns how to place the ball where Russ can get it. Those two will connect more, and they'll get more touchdowns, more first downs on plays.
How much do you think he needs to work, probably in the offseason coming up, but how much do you just think he needs to get stronger so he can fight off the defensive backs on the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, Gruden mentioned that he needs to win his one-on-one battles off the line of scrimmage. I think sometimes he does win and Carr doesn't see him, because my one criticism of Carr that still goes on to this day is that sometimes Carr doesn't turn the ball loose as quick as he should. Sometimes he holds it a little longer, and that allows the defenders to close windows. But again, I think Ruggs will eventually, I won't say bulk up in the offseason, but he'll add some strength. He'll learn how to beat press coverage, and he'll get off the line of scrimmage, and hopefully Carr will see him. As soon as he sees him, let the ball go. And so, again, it's also on Carr to put the ball in the right spot at the right time. But, again, it's also on Ruggs to win his one-on-one matchups so he can get those open passes.
Mo, how big of a game is this for the Raiders, do you think? And is there a possibility of them looking past it? They've won two in a row. They're coming home for a game against the Broncos. I know it's an in division rival, but then you got the Chiefs next Sunday night, a massive game for this team and this franchise and this city. How do you look at this Denver game, and what are they going to have to do to make sure that they don't lose focus?
Yeah, I hate to be a boring guy, but it's one game at a time. I know the Chiefs are coming up, and they're coming off of a bye, which is crazy that the Raiders always get the Chiefs after a bye. But you have to look at Denver and say this is a division game. And right now, you're coming off a win off the Chargers, so you're 2-0 in the division. Chances are, if you have a good record in a division, if you're like 4-2 or 5-1, 6-0 even in a division, chances are you're going to go to the playoffs. So you have to look at this as, if we can do this, if we can send a message and beat a Denver Broncos team that we're clearly better than right now, not to overlook them, but right now the Bears are a better football team than the Denver Broncos. A game that you should, or let's just say people are expecting to win, do not play down to the competition. And I know the Raiders haven't done much to go to the playoffs in recent years, so they shouldn't be looking down on anyone. I tweeted this. But this is a division game. You're going toward the playoffs one game at a time. Send a statement and win convincingly on your home field.
Yeah, that's what they need to do. And, Sky, you mentioned it a few times that you want to see them start getting a little win streak at home at Allegiant Stadium, kind of get a home field advantage. Mo, let me ask you this. Let me ask you about Max Crosby. I feel like he's really, really working his tail off. Picked up another sack last week. He's got 5 on the season. Do you continue to see him putting more tools in his tool belt and getting a little bit even better and more defined at the pass rush?
Yeah, what I want to see from Max Crosby is him kind of beat his defender more 1-on-1. He's got a lot of coverage sacks where I want to call those effort sacks where the quarterback holds the ball. And he's able to use his motor to get those takedowns. What I want to see him is to really get his guy 1-on-1 and kind of force offensive linemen to double team, because I know Raiders don't have that guy on the line right now that will force a double team or even a triple team, as Khalil Mack once did. And I don't expect Max Crosby to be Khalil Mack. But if he's going to be the lead pass rusher on that defense, I just want to see him win more one-on-one matchups and add some pressure and add much-needed pressure for the Raiders defense, because they absolutely need that lead guy right now to just kind of generate some pressure off the pocket.
All right, there you go. Mo Moten with dropping knowledge as usual. Have a good weekend, man. You guys under lockdown again, too, like we're about to?
Yeah, we're about to go on lockdown, probably starting Monday. Not too happy about it, but it is what it is at this point.
It is, man. Well, at least our governors and mayors can go out and have dinner. But
we're not going to even touch on that. I don't even want to get angry about that, because I want to go out and dine, wine and dine. Can't do that. So yeah. I'm taking it one day at a time, and hopefully it improves.
Well, we know you'll be working your tail off like the rest of us. So appreciate it, Mo. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
I appreciate you guys.
All right. Yep. There you go, Mo Moten. Good stuff.
Chilling. He's chilling.
Yeah.
What'd you call him, the Brooklyn Bomber?
No, the Baron of Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah. There you go. The Baron.
Baron of
Bomber.
Brooklyn.
It's the same.
Yeah, it's good. No, Baron.
I mean, it's like, yeah, it's flying. It's being in an airplane.
No, you're thinking of Baron Vaughn. What's his face? The Red Baron.
Isn't there a Baron that flies a plane?
Yeah, the Red Baron. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, see?
Baron
exactly.
Vaughn Brickenhouse.
So the Brooklyn Baron.
Right.
Or he could be the Brooklyn Bomber.
Or he could be the Brooklyn.
He could be an airplane bombing.
But there was also railroad barons. Like, they were the big money dudes that made all the money off the railroads back in the 1800s. Yeah.
I don't know. I was probably working on the railroad that day.
All right. We're taking a break. When we come back, we'll roll on with your phone call, 702-365-9200. Tell us what you think of the game against the Broncos, the Donkeys. How's it going to go down? You tell us. You're with Q and Scott here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.